the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. The story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all.
They couldn't score and fell flat, and the 40-something goal is a little deceiving here. And even though they had some really good opportunities, surprisingly, they need to play with that intensity. If those last 3-4 minutes, the Rangers sometimes don't play at their best level against lower-tier teams.
Here's Johnny!
Nope, this is Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, here on the Bleed Blue Show.
Good evening, Steven. How are you?
Mr. Ranger Proud, what's up, Frank? How you doing? I got Glenn, Scott, Carl with us. Lots to discuss. I was actually, right before this episode, I was reading your article on Inside the Rink. Shout outs to you on Inside the Rink on what the Rangers should do at the deadline. Let's put that on the topic as a point of discussion. Let's have some fun with that. But how are you, though, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Things are going well. Hockey's fun. Work's horrible. You know, like everybody else, I'm doing fine.
All right, cool. Because at the 50th minute of this episode, we will land the plane to get into our final thoughts. We got a packed house. Glenn, Scott, Carl, Marie, Girls of True Blue is with us. Let's get right into it, man. Because I shouldn't overreact to losing to Columbus again, but
no. No.
The last time
don't
I overreacted,
be like those people.
But you want to be superstitious? Do you believe in superstition? Because the last time I reacted, yeah, we went on a run. You don't want that to happen again?
Listen, winning streaks are great, but nobody wins every game. And whenever they lost, it was going to be a crappy loss. Because it's never a good loss, especially in Rangers Twitter, right? So you lose a game, the most important thing is now to bounce back. Don't lose 2 or 3 in a row and kind of ruin the 10-game winning streak. Now you bounce back. That's what good teams do. We all think they're a good team. Now we'll find out.
All right, cool. Let's bring everybody on. Just a quick thought. Do not even say much. Just say hello, get on, so we can make sure we have enough time to speak, because it's Matt Rimpey and his boxing and the Rangers. He's on the marquee at all these arenas now, RP. Everybody wants a piece of the guy, man.
I know.
Glenn, what's up, man? Glenn, what's going on, man? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, and like RP, I am not going to fall victim to recency bias. You know, we can look at that game the other night and just kind of scratch our heads and say, what was that? But I prefer to look at, you know, the 10 games before that and, you know, look at a team that seemed, you know, like they were getting their act together. They beat some bad teams. They beat some good teams. They had some memorable wins, and I'm kind of riding off that, but I'm still expecting to see a nice 5-1 or 6-2 slapdown tomorrow of Colorado to get even, or Columbus to get even, and that'll make me feel a lot better about it.
Hold your thoughts, guys. Shout out to Glenn. Shout out to you, man. Scott, real quick, say hello, man. Just a quick hello. We'll get back to you. I promise, bro.
Yes. Good evening. Yeah, we can get into that Columbus game, and I will just say in my opening remarks that I am full-blown case of Rippy fever here, and I ordered my jersey Sunday.
Sounds good.
Nice.
All right, shout-outs to Scott. Let's get to Carl. Carl, say hello to the peoples, man. How you doing, bro?
A pleasant good evening, gentlemen. I will not be dropping the gloves right now. Scott and I, we did not discuss dropping it during the pre-show chatter, so there will not be any fighting here in the first 5 minutes.
All right, cool.
Carl,
shout out to Carl.
What do you win? Hold on, Scott.
Marie, what up? Girls of True Blue, how you doing, gal? How's everything? Everything all right? Good to hear from you.
I am good, yes. Thank God. I am not a fighter. I am a lover.
Right, cool.
I love the Rangers in that respect.
Yes. Right. So let's do this because we have a lot of people. We have everybody on, so let's keep it to 3 to 4 minutes for everybody to speak. Let's work our way backwards, RP. I'll lead off with you and go ahead and your thoughts, because that was a very good win against the Flyers. And when I was thinking about it, it hit me, and then they showed the graphic where Laviolette was the coach at one point with the Flyers when we had Tortorella, and it's like flip-flopped. And I was thinking about that, and then they showed it. I was like, oh, shoot, they did pick up on it.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I'd rather get the win in Philadelphia, because of they're chasing us in the standings. And then, you know, we could talk about the Matt Rempe UFC stuff that's going on right now. Every arena he's going to, there's a fight to be challenged. But nonetheless, the Blue Shirts got outplayed, especially on the Rush in Columbus on Sunday night. Your thoughts, RP, your article, Inside the Ring, any thoughts on that? And then we're going to go right down the line, make sure everybody has time to speak to Glenn, Scott, Carl, Marie, and then myself. Go ahead, RP. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, really quick, the Columbus game was a trap game. I said it from earlier in the week when I saw the schedule. It was going to be a tough game. There's going to be a lockdown. It's really impossible to keep playing at that level and making all those comebacks and all that hockey that they've been playing, you know, over the last couple of weeks. So I keep saying the same thing. You're just not going to win every hockey game. And when you're on a winning streak like that and you're battling against to be the only team to win 11 in a row in the franchise history, yada, 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 and they lose, they don't just lose in New York. You just get dissected, which is a problem, but it is what it is. Personally, I they're playing great hockey. They still need to address the things that we've been discussing. They need a right wing. Obviously, the coach agreed with it because they practiced today. He put Kako back on the top line, put BC back down. I think he went to the third line. And it's been an ongoing issue all year. Now the problem is, what kind of trade do you make? You know, you just won 10 out of 11 games. You don't really want to mess up your chemistry. But on the flip side, the lineup you have now probably won't take you deep into the playoffs. So that's why Drury gets paid the big bucks, right? You have to figure out how to make it work to get a right winger. Probably needs a right winger more than a center. But we'll, you know, you'll see what transpires. And in my article today, I just wrote down that, coincidentally, the three most talked about names for a potential right wing coming to New York, all ex-Rangers, Frankie Vetrano, Anthony Duclair, Pavel Buchnevich. Buchnevich is the long shot. St. Louis isn't totally out of it. He still, I believe, has a year left on his contract, so he wouldn't be a rental, which means it might cost more. And then again, it might be somebody else. You know, these are just names that I was looking at and trying to, you know, throw out there that would definitely help the first-line situation. All three are good players. They're all familiar with New York. It wouldn't be that big of a transition coming here right off the bat. So we're going to have to wait and see what Drury wants to do in the next 9-10 days. He has to do something. So he's been pretty productive and pretty successful in his trades up to this point. So we'll just wait and see what happens. And, you know, with regards to hockey, now you're getting down to the last 25 games or so. Now you're just getting this team ready for the playoffs. That's what it's all about. Get the power play going, get your defensive scheme going, your PK going. Try to get Zibanejad and Kreider to score just a little bit more 5-on-5. And, you know, once the trade deadline's made, everyone, then they'll see what they're going to do with Rempe, and Edstrom. Will they be able to keep both of them up? Will salary cap and trade personnel change things? That's all yet to be seen. But I tell you, it's been a hell of a lot of fun the last 10 games with Rempe, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's got sure a splash of hockey and UFC with it. You know what I'm saying? On the marquee. Mm-hmm.
He is going to have to learn how to say – he is really quick. He is going to have to learn how to pick his fights. He can't fight with everybody that challenges him in warm-ups and on the ice. He's going to have to learn to skate away a little bit. Because the other night, I thought he got a concussion. When he got hog-tied down and banged his head, the last thing they need is for that to happen, too. So, you know, he's going to have to – and he's young. He likes it. But eventually someone's going to tag him as big as he is. So he'll learn. I'm sure a lot of the left's talking to him and, you know, other coaches, players on the team, Truba, things like that. You got to pick your spots a little bit. Sometimes it's nothing wrong to say, I'm not fighting you right now. Or try to dupe him into a double minor or a minor for delay a game, something stupid like that. But he'll learn. Right now it's just entertaining. And he's playing – that they're both playing very well, I think. I like those two guys have made Gaudreau's name come up more in the fourth lines than playing that style of hockey that I know everybody here on the panel likes. So it's been fun to watch.
Right. Let's go to Glenn and get his thoughts, and then after that, Scott, and then Carl, and then Marie. Go ahead, Glenn, your thoughts. Igor's been playing well. He continues the good play since the All-Star break. Your thoughts, Glenn, on the last couple of games, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, seems like Igor is back. I mean, it's been a roller coaster ride most of this season, so he's going to have to do it for more than three games to have me totally convinced and confident in him. But I see no reason why he shouldn't be able to. He's shown this before. And if he's, you know, going to, at this point, get on a roll and, you know, you got Quick that you can throw in there to give him some intermittent rest. The other thing is, you know, they've got three games, I think, in the next 12 days, which I think is great because anybody who's got some bumps and bruises, you know, they can heal them up. The goalies can get rested. I think it's coming at a great time to have a little bit of a break like this. You know, you hope it doesn't kind of mess with the momentum that they built during the 10-game stretch that they won. But, you know, I think it's a good time for this to happen. As far as the Columbus game, you know, the Rangers have always had a lesser team that they have trouble beating over the years. I remember, you know, it's Columbus right now. I remember they could never win in Buffalo. They went the years without winning on the island and in years when the Islanders weren't that good. You know, so there's always been a team that the Rangers have a tough time beating that you kind of wonder why. And I think that was totally a trap game the other night. It was a trap game for me. I was just kind of figuring, well, it's a matter of what the score is going to be, not who's going to win. And so I kind of fell into that trap a little bit too. But, you know, you guys know I watch a lot of hockey, and it's amazing how many times you see lesser teams either beat or play very well against some of the top teams. You know, teams like San Jose and Anaheim and Columbus, obviously, and, you know, Buffalo and even Ottawa, you know, they give some of these teams a hard time. And it's probably, you know, a matter of being a trap game for all of those top teams where you think you just got to throw your gloves on the ice and you're going to win. And, you know, these teams play, you know, they got a lot of guys that are trying to stay in the NHL or make it in the NHL, trying to make an impression. And, you know, this is the NHL. So if you go out there and you're not playing at your best or you're not giving it your best, these teams have a chance to come back and bite you. So, you know, I mean, it's just one of those games where, you know, I mean, they won 10 in a row. And the other thing is that last game was their fifth game in eight nights, I think it was. So, you know, I mean, we tend to think these guys are robots sometimes and they can just, you know, play, wind them up and they just go. But, you know, I thought they lacked a little bit of energy on Sunday too. So they might've been a little low on gas. So I'm willing to give that a pass, even though, you know, when the game was over, I was kind of stunned and wondering what that was. As far as Rempe, yeah, I mean, it's been fun, you know. I mean, he can't have a fight every night. I think Carl had messaged us or me the other night about, you know, that it's unsustainable. And I said, well, never bothered Ty Domi. But on the other hand, this is in 1992, yeah, and the game has changed. So you can't really, you know, do that all the time. But, yeah, I mean, those two guys have, you know, I mean, Rempe, everybody is talking about Rempe because of the fights, and that's what you see on the highlights. But, you know, he's banging bodies. He's going to the net. I mean, he had that goal go off him when he was standing right in front of the net screening the goalie. And Edstrom, too, as well. So, you know, this gives this team a dimension, a characteristic that they didn't have. The Rangers have never been looked at as a, you know, a hard-nosed, banging kind of team. And I think, you know, these two guys, if they can play well to give them, you know, to suit them up for, you know, 8 minutes or 10 minutes for a game to bring a little energy and a little bit of grit to the team, you know, I think it's a great element for them to have going into the playoff, and I think it's going to come in real handy. You're going to have teams and players looking over their shoulder, checking out where these two guys are, where they're out on the ice. So I just hope they can continue to contribute in other ways to keep them on the ice, you know, for a good enough number of minutes to make it worth it.
All right, cool. Let's go to Scott and get his thoughts. Well, Scott, go ahead, fire away, man. Floor is yours, bro.
First of all, I have zero concern about Sunday's game, like none. I mean, you know, 10-game win streak, hats off, standing O. You know, there are a lot of contenders in there that they beat, not to mention a couple teams, the Flyers, the Islanders, the Devils, that are fighting for their playoff lives. That we came out on top and completely manhandled and embarrassed the Devils. I don't want to say manhandled because the Devils did have a shot advantage, but, you know, we pretty much embarrassed them there. So, you know, that Saturday game was a, you know, typical just vintage Rangers-Flyers game, hard-fought, you know, one-goal game down to the wire, one of those chess match, you know, nobody – who's going to make the first mistake kind of games. And then, you know, for the 10th straight win, again, the Flyers, ahead of the curve that they were supposed to be in. And you could arguably say they're fighting for their playoff lives. Well, they're on the good side of the bubble, unlike the Devils and the Islanders, but, they're nothing is certain for them. So, that was a huge win. So to follow up, you know, win number 10 the next day, they were clearly out of gas. And Columbus, for all of their bottom feeding, is a very dangerous offensive team. Sam and Joe pointed that out, that they're terrible defensive goaltending. That's their problem. But offensively, they're very dangerous. I mean, they were just unstoppable on the rush. And, you know, the Rangers were gassed. And they clearly needed a day off. And we've been very successful on the back end of the back-to-backs this year. But the Rangers were clearly gassed and just couldn't keep up with Columbus. And I'm perfectly okay with it. In fact, I would rather it – I'm actually glad it was a team like Columbus, because if it was a contending team where they looked that poor against them, you know, we'd be sitting here talking about, well, here we go again. The win streak was nice, but now we've got a team we're going to play in the playoffs. Can we beat them? So at least we don't have to worry about that. I have no concern at all about Sunday. Now, the important thing is now they play him again tomorrow with some rest. Now we have to show that we are an infinitely better team than them, and we have to win tomorrow, and I'm not worried about that. If they win tomorrow in regulation, then all is forgiven about Sunday, but I'm not worried about that. As for Rempe, I'm totally on board with him. I mean, just, you know, the interview with him after the game when he scored that game winner. I mean, you know, like, how do you not like this kid? I mean, he's just so nice, so humble. It kind of reminds me of the movie Goon, when toward the end, when Sean William Scott meets up finally with Liev Schreiber, you know, Ross Ray, in the diner the night before they're about to finally go at it, and he's just so it's his idol, basically, and a couple hours before they're going to beat the crap out of each other, and just, you know, really shows like the hockey etiquette. I know we touched on the etiquette last week, just the etiquette involved in the fighting. And, it's great that, you know, all these guys are, specifically the Matt Martin thing. I don't know if we really pointed out exactly how that went down. And, you know, Matt Martin came up to him before the start of the game, the outdoor game, and said, congrats on your NHL debut. You want to make it memorable. And so, I got to give him credit for that. But yes, it is not sustainable to do it every night, and everybody's, hopefully there's no rematch from Sunday's fight. Hopefully they got that out of their system, because that one did not go very well for him. And everybody's now, talking up hype about Ryan Reeves on Saturday with Toronto, and I don't want to see that. Ryan Reeves hits real hard. We're all familiar with that. Hopefully he does not, if he gets challenged, you know, that's one thing about him being a 21-year-old kid is I don't know if he's, if he's got the common sense and, you know, to turn down one of these challenges. But if Ryan Reeves gives him the option in the pregame, hopefully he does not take him up. I don't want to see that. You know, he needs a couple days to not fight and recover. But, also, on the playing side, I think one of the things that I absolutely believe that one of the things that's contributed to this run is that fourth line. We've been saying all year that they didn't really have any consistency in that fourth line, and so you got these two guys, in Edstrom, and I love that they started calling them the Twin Towers, and I hope that catches on. In Edstrom and Rempe, and you know, they're actually decent. You know, Rempe's actually he's got some speed for how big and lanky he is. But, you know, they scored goals two games in a row. Rempe got the game winner, you know, in that Philly game. And then Sunday, they, you know, they got another one. We thought Rempe got that one too, but, it hit off of the Columbus guy. But then there was another opportunity when, there was a loose puck in front, and he took a couple whacks at it, and the goalie made a big save with the glove. But they're actually, in addition to banging the bodies and being physical and that aspect of what you want out of a fourth line that we really haven't been getting all year, they can actually, they're getting some scoring chances, which is really nice to see. And we're definitely going to need that, in our bottom six. And I think that's been one of the, one of the things we've been lacking all year. And one thing that I said, and I said it a couple times, and I said that I believe that the success of this team as far as cup contending depends on all comes down to Lafreniere and Kako. And, Steele, I'll give you my ginger report right now. It's A+. I'm not afraid. I'm more than happy to eat a big shit sandwich when need be. And I'm more than happy to eat it right now on Lafreniere. I got to give this kid credit. Both of them, they've taken their game to a higher level. They're filling out the top six. Now, don't get me wrong. I still think that we could use a top notch right wing, and then whether that means first line or third line or I don't know, that's up to Laviolette, but I think we definitely still need a right wing. But Kako and Lafreniere are playing at the level that we needed them to play at and we're hoping that they would play at. And what's really impressed me about Lafreniere recently is some of the goals that he's scoring. That was my biggest complaint about him, because he was getting I know that his 5-on-5 numbers were over the past few years were, amongst the highest on the team. And, that's not doesn't say all that much, because 5-on-5 has been a problem for a couple of years now with this team. But my concern was that he wasn't getting those elite sniper goals and, all the goals he was scoring or goals that anybody could score.
Thanks. All right. Let's go to Carl. Shout out to Scott. Thank you very much. And then let's go to Carl and then Marie.
I got played off. You gave me the Oscars speech too long music.
Yeah, the timer went off, man. The timer went off. Go ahead, Carl.
Fair enough. Okay.
We're putting Scott in the penalty box for the next 2 minutes. Double minor for interference on that. But the week's been good. Listen, I thought. When you saw, to RP's point, when the schedule had the afternoon game in Philadelphia set up with the game the next day in Columbus, you watch that, the way that game Saturday, it was such an emotional, game on both ends, that when the game was over, I said, boy, there's a schedule loss coming now. And as you watched the first 20 minutes of that Columbus game on Sunday, I was just like, yeah, I got a bad feeling about this. And I know Joe was trying to say, I remember before the start of the third period, Joe was mentioning, he said, Columbus is minus 35 in the third period of these games in terms of goal differential. I was like, well, maybe the Rangers got a shot. But I was like, sometimes it's just sort of one of those things where it's just not going to work out. And a couple minutes in, you can kind of tell where the game was going to go. And so unfortunately, it just, didn't go. Now, if there was a day of space in between the Philly game and the Columbus game, I think the Rangers would have had a much better chance with back-to-back schedule loss. Hey, it's just kind of how it goes. Tomorrow night should be a different story, so I'm not really all too concerned. I know there's been a lot of I'll get to that in a second, but, we're just talking about Lafreniere just now. Remember I was saying a couple weeks ago that I thought he was suffering from a case of bad luck, and the luck is turning around for him lately. I have to see his goals in the last 10 games. I think the number is 6. I have to verify mm-hmm. that just to be sure, but I think 6 is the number. But that's the thing. It's like, eventually, there was no way he was going to be able to not have some of these pucks go in the net. Eventually, it was going to work for him, and now he's finally getting some. And it's also leading to some sort of, positive reinforcement, right, that the work he is putting in, is leading to results. I know sometimes a guy can get down where it's like, damn, is anything going to go in? But he's finally getting some results. And he's, I feel like overall he's had a very good season. Let's put it this way, is he going to live up to the number one pick in the draft? It's unlikely. So I think you might want to temper now, you know, your expectations of him being, I don't know, pick, you know, Jack Hughes or, you know, Patrick Kane was in the first pick. Like those type of players who you might have thought, you know, the Rangers were getting. Maybe he's going to have to fit into a role where maybe he's not going to be that. He's going to be something else that's going to be slightly lesser than that, and you just sort of accept that as it goes along here. Igor, what can you say about him? He's stealing hearts out there. That game in Philadelphia was tremendous. As we look ahead here to the trade deadline, I think the question now that the Rangers sort of have to ask themselves is, okay, and I was thinking about it today before we had the show, that old Mike Keenan conversation with management before the trade deadline, where he went to everybody and said, even though the team had a great record and it seemed like everything was on pace, he said, I don't think we can win the cup, guys. And that led to the moves that were made. Now, the salary cap is not the factor that it is now. So you have to sort of say, okay, well, where on the margins can this go down? I saw a trade proposal, I think it was on ESPN earlier today, where the Rangers were going to, one trade that was just kind of just mentioned in passing, like, oh, maybe this team would, I think it was an Adam Henrique and Frank Vatrano trade in exchange for Goudreau, a first-round draft pick and something else. And I was like, I could probably be talked into that maybe. But, you know, we've got, 10 more days to figure that out. So, you know, those kind of things are going to come about. I think Tarasenko is being mentioned, but because of the fact that he was on the roster as of, like, June 30th last year, there's a date issue that's in play where in order to make that happen, some salary has to go back the other way, or there's some other, you know, there's all these sort of, you know, logistical things that are in place in order to make some of these things happen. You know, the fact that the NHL has been sort of flat on the salary cap the last, you know, 3-4 years is basically a hamper on the whole league. And I think it's kind of it's taken some time, but it's sort of dragged all of these teams down to a point where, you know, everybody is kind of, at least this season, kind of on the same level. Like if I took a hat and put 5 or 6 or 10 teams in a hat and you picked one of them out, you could probably make a case that team would win the cup this season. That's kind of the way this year is playing out. There's no one that sort of stands out above the rest. And so, you know, we'll just have to see how the Rangers want to approach this. And then on the Rempe front, like I told you guys on Sunday, you know, the first time I saw, you know, I saw this at the subway, at the Stadium Series game, I said, all right, this is cool. Second time I saw it, I'm like, all right. Third time I saw it, I said, okay, wait a second, time out. I don't know if this is going to continue. Like, we're going to have to kind of slow this down. I saw a picture of his face today at the skate. He's got a black – it looked like his eye – something's not looking right with that. And, you know, these guys are basically challenging him before these games, and he's going this route. Like, I feel like the Rangers kind of have to step in and be like, hey, listen, you know, you don't have to do this. Like, it would almost be advised not to do this because when he's actually playing – when you take that part away, he's being very effective as a player, being in front of the net, you know, giving, you know, the minutes that he's giving. I feel like if he can give you an 8 to 10 minutes of quality play, that would certainly make up for the fact that he's, you know, dropping the gloves every night. And, you know, you're going to run into the wrong guy. It's kind of like the UFC. So, you know, you're not going to go undefeated. You know, you're going to run into some wrong guys here and you know, that kind of thing. And I was looking up his history going into the league. He was not this fighter in coming up the ranks. I had the numbers. I think it was 7 fights in 100 games, and it's 4 fights in 8 days. Like, wait a second, this math is not adding up. So I don't know if it was instructed to do this. If this is something he's just deciding to do on his own, he's trying to make a name for himself, kind of like a pro wrestler, you know, trying to get over with the crowd. I'm a little bit confused because if he had this, it's not like he had the reputation and then brought it to the league. He hasn't necessarily had this, so that's just kind of got me kind of wondering. And I'm, you know, trying to look out for the kid here, but you know, he's gonna, you know, they'll put his, you know, the way he's, you know, acting right, you know, performing right now, he's going to have a jersey in the rafters by the end of the month. So, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out. But that's all I got for now.
Cool, man. Shout out to you, Carl. Thank you very much. And we go back to Marie. Marie, go ahead. Your thoughts on the blue shirts.
All right.
The winning streak comes to an end. Yeah, go ahead.
That's okay. Like I echo a lot of what the gentleman was saying about, like, you know, it's okay. You may have to lose one or two games as long as, like, it's not going to turn into anything more than that. And I I look at that game, and I look at the Stadium Series game, and that's a game where, you know, for years we couldn't beat the Islanders when Halak was in net. We couldn't do it on opening night. And I look at that game, and I say that was unbelievable what we did, right? And it was back-to-back. I think they ran out of steam. It wasn't playoffs. It's just that's it in their mentality. And as far as, you know, Murphy and fighting, I think he's setting a precedence. I don't think it's a bad thing. And I think he's very, because he's so tall, it could be sometimes awkward when he fights, because you could be a great fighter and not be tall. And I think that now, after what happened, someone said it before, you know, he got thrown to the ice, and you want to be careful because you don't want the kid to get hurt either. I think it's good he set his precedence and now move on, and don't take every challenge that someone gives you in pre-skate and you know, be the better person and play hockey. He set his precedence. He's a fighter. He'll go back at you. He'll drop his gloves. But again, that game the other night, it was a game. We lost it, and time to, you know, we move on. Just like they say, like the guys say, you know, we got to move on. We learn from it. And I look at, you know, the points that we've scored. And as far as Igor is concerned, I always remain hopeful. You know, I know Hank went through it. You know, what happens when they go on those losing streaks and the backups in net, and, you know, it affects their confidence. And I think, you know, them winning in front of Igor, playing better in front of him, is going to help his confidence. And that's all I got. I'm good with the Rangers right now. I think we're in a good place. And I have to hop off.
All right, you got any more?
45. I had a business call.
All right, go ahead. Do your thing. Shout out to you, Marie. Thank you for joining us here on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. I'll be real quick, and we'll go right back to RP. Listen, it looks awkward because of his height. Matt Rempe, star of these games. What I've seen, you know, from a boxing standpoint, he has the reach. He just doesn't have the power, and a lot of the guys are shorter in stature and stronger. And if they get the inside on him, it could get a little bit ugly. So I'm kind of with you guys, of course. Like, got to kind of tone that down a little bit. We're going to probably need you, especially with that fourth line, which Scott alluded to with him playing very well. They don't play a lot of minutes, but him and Adam Enstrom play pretty effective minutes when granted their 7 to 8 minute opportunities on that fourth line. So I am cool what they bring, and especially with the most underrated part is the screen, because he's so tall. You know, he can stand tower over a goalie, and you might get some lucky caroms off of his skate or his stick, like he did on Saturday. One guy we've kind of brought up over time this season, and I still want to give him his just due, and he kind of goes under the radar with a lot of fans, probably not on this platform, and that's Will Cooley. I mean, he was a physical beast against Philadelphia, and he has got to get some kind of recognition and a shout-out as well for his play, especially on Saturday. I will go back to RP on – well, before, somebody – I don't know about trap game, because I never heard of a double trap. So is a trap game – against because we're playing Columbus back-to-back games. It can't be Columbus is a trap game for Columbus, right? Or are we saying we're overlooking Columbus twice to look at Carolina? Is that what you guys were trying to say? Because that part I didn't quite understand.
No.
It's a schedule loss. You see it in the NBA.
It's a schedule thing, right. Because
I kept on hearing trap
Philadelphia,
game.
The Philadelphia game at 3 o'clock, arrival, you win your 10th in a row. And then the next day, a 6 o'clock game in Columbus, what was it, the fifth game in 8 days, whatever the heck it was, it was a trap game because you just knew it was going to take it. So somewhere the wheels were going to fall off, and that had all of their, you know, pointings at it. But then they were off. That was Sunday, right? So they were off Monday and Tuesday. The game's tomorrow or Thursday? I forget. Columbus? Tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
So That's three. That's the tomorrow. If they lose to Columbus, they just played a crappy game. You could say that now, but it's not a trap game.
But I kept hearing trap
games.
People kept on mentioning trap
games.
It
wasn't so much because of the team. You know, it could have been the Ottawa Senators. It could have been any. To me, the trap game is any non-conference or non-divisional game when you're really on a good roll, and or even if you like take two out of three. Let's say you play the Islanders and the Capitals, and you know, those are big games, and then you play, you know, Detroit, or then you play Chicago, and that enthusiasm, that different level of play. You know, we always say you need to step up. Those kind of games, you kind of step down and you play at their level, which the Rangers did with Columbus. That was a trap game. Now, if you do two games in a row, now it's a losing streak.
yeah. The Rangers tour is set on fire. So my last thoughts on that, and then listen, obviously defensively in transition, that's where the Rangers lost the game on Sunday. They definitely looked tired, and I understand the broadcast brought up the point that the second game of back-to-backs, the Rangers were undefeated up until that point. So they were kind of due for one. I think they were 9-0 or something like that. But real quick, on to the rest of the NHL, and I'll go back to RP. As far as Philadelphia, like I said, I think 3 weeks ago, as well as they have been playing, I do not see that sustaining in the month of March. I think I said it on an episode a few weeks ago. But again, Washington, St. Louis, who's fighting for their lives. They got Florida, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Boston, Toronto, Carolina, Boston, Florida. No way they survived that in March with that lack of scoring. I know they got will and defense, but no way. I expect them. And I don't. The question, the argument, if you guys want to answer, especially Glenn, who takes their place? Is it Washington, who's kind of been hanging around? Is New Jersey going to get past them? I don't know. Part two, and also Columbus, and this goes back to the start of the season, and I still haven't gotten to the bottom of that situation with Babcock. Like, I don't even know. If you guys could fill me in, cool. So I'll pass the mic back off to RP, because I still don't know why he got fired. I know it was for personal reasons, looking at cell phones allegedly or something. I don't even know the story, man. It was weird. Yeah. But they're in the disarray. Their roster is in disarray, man. And it's going to be like that for the next couple of seasons, even with Johnny Gaudreau and then Laney's out and all that. So, RP, your thoughts? Anything else you'd like to say with the Blue Shirts rest around the NHL? Then we'll get down to everybody. We got like 15 more minutes before we land the plane.
Yeah, you know, it's funny right now when you look at the playoffs, the Flyers are in the third team. The Rangers, Carolina's in Philadelphia. They have 67 points. But if they fall out of the top three, well, they may not even make it into the wild card, because 67 points puts them behind Detroit and Tampa Bay, and they're only 4 points ahead of the Capitals and 5 points ahead of the Devils. So it's going to go really down to the wire, because ever since the whole thing happened with the Flyers goalie and the Canadian national team and the sexual assault thing, and they lost their starting goalie, they've been pretty much in a tailspin. The Capitals have been trying to step up to get something going. The Devils just seem to can't get out of their own way when they start winning hockey games. So the Islanders, believe it or not, somehow are tied with the Devils with 62 points, but that's because of that damn overtime rate, because they have 14 overtime losses. So the Islanders have lost 14 times in overtime, and it's the equivalent to 7 wins. Get that. That's ridiculous. 7 wins is 14 points. 14 overtime losses is 14 points. So the Islanders are 24-20-14 for 62 points, and the Devils are 29-25-4, same amount of games, 58 for 62 points.
Yeah.
Tell me there's something needs to be changed with the overtime. But that's for another discussion. But because of that, the Islanders, as bad as they're playing, are only a few points out of third place. The wild card would be harder for them, because they're 5 points behind Tampa Bay for number two, and they're 8 points behind Detroit for the number one. But if they could catch the Flyers and knock them out of the third spot, so the Devils and Capitals and Islanders all have something to play for. Actually, the Penguins do too. They have 60 points. The bottom part of the playoffs, you know, to make the playoffs, it's just going to be an incredible run. And whoever gets hot is going to get into that spot like Florida did last year. But, you know, when you're looking at some of these, you know, as I'm just looking through the playoffs, you look at some of these numbers, you know, 14 overtime wins, you should not be putting a team into overtime losses, excuse me. Should not be putting a team into the playoffs, but they're right there. So I've been saying this for years. They need to revamp the point system on here, or just get rid of the whole, you know, go back to ties.
Boston's in a similar position as well. They're 34-12-14 as well.
Right, 14. That's another one, 14 points, and they're leading. It's crazy. I don't think they thought the format would break down the way it is. I mean, the Boston's last 10 games, they're 3-2-5, and yet with the overtime, those five overtime losses gave them 5 points, and it's leapfrogged them over the Panthers in the first place, even though the Panthers have 2 games in hand. There's something way off with it. I don't know if the league's even looking at it or not. They may not even care. But from a fan standpoint, you're being rewarded 7 wins to lose hockey games. It's odd. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and
to me, so.
And the shoot. I remember this is probably about seven. It was about 7 or 8 years ago. I remember the LA Kings missed the playoffs, and basically the difference between the team that made it, I think it was Calgary at the time, and LA was the difference in like 5 shootout losses.
Right.
Like that was the difference.
Yeah,
like,
you just it
ugh.
Just can't write it. And I always say it. Something they used to do with the end of the practice to decide who would buy beers after practice is now determining who makes it into the NHL playoffs. How can the league is losing, and I know Scott talks about this all the time with certain things the league does. The league is losing their morals. They're losing that prestige of the NHL because, to me, they're giving away games. They're giving away points. And it's something that's really got to be changed. I don't know how. I don't know the best way to do it, but that's just ridiculous in my eyes.
Okay.
Or I got to stay on that.
All right. Shout-outs to RP, Glenn, and then Scott, and then Carl, and if Marie is still on with us with daughter Marie. But we got to speed it up because of the time. But, Glenn, your thoughts, blue shirts, blue jackets, and Flyers, anything or around the rest of the NHL, and then we'll get to Scott, and then Carl and Marie.
Yeah, I'll try to be quick on everything. One thing that I noticed when all you guys were talking were, well, somebody's talking about what Rempe and Edstrom are doing on the fourth line. And somebody else mentioned the job Cully is doing. And somebody else mentioned, Scott, I think it was A-plus for on the Ginger Report. You've got Kreider and Mika starting to wake up a little bit in that 10-game streak too. And I think if you look at that, I mean, that's what you want. That means every line is working. And they're right where they should be. And that's, the result was that 10-game winning streak. But, for a while there, it seemed like they were relying a lot on that second line that was, getting all the production. But now it's spread out, and that's what you want. I think that's a great sign, going forward, and hopefully they can keep that up. As far as the standings, I still think that it's going to be 3 teams out of the Metro. I think, most of you guys probably do because, the Red Wings are actually beating the Caps tonight 5-2. So if they win, they're going to go to 72 points, which will give them, pretty much a 9-point cushion in the playoffs. Tampa is right behind them, but I don't see Tampa as a team that's going to fall apart going down the stretch either. So I think it's going to be hard for any of that combination of Washington, the Devils, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, to me is done. I think Pittsburgh's done. I saw they just lost Brian Rust for a while now too, and he had been put up on the first line, and you see the talk about possibly moving Gensel. So I think Pittsburgh is starting to look at this season as, they're not going to make it. And it's going to be interesting to see if they decide to continue on trying to keep winning while Crosby is there. I think they will. I think their window has shut, and I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And as far as, a lot of this is going to depend, too, on March 8th. Who gets who on March 8th? If you want to tell me the Devils, there's been rumors about – depending what Calgary does between now and then, that they might move Markstrom. If the Devils get Markstrom, then that's probably a shot in the arm to them. And their goaltending has really been their biggest problem. So maybe you look at them as a team that might be able to leapfrog over Philly. I don't know about Washington. I watch a lot of Washington games. I don't see it in watching them. That I think they're going to go on enough of a run to overtake Philly, even though they're close. The Islanders, again, I know Scott is a big fan of those charity points. And, you know, we all go back to, and I certainly go back to the time when, you know, games that were tied at the end of 60 minutes ended in ties. So, I mean, basically that's what an overtime or a shootout loss is. It's the point you would get if they just went back to doing ties. So, you know, that's been around in the NHL forever. But, you know, I tend to look at – when I look at teams, I don't look at the NHL record. I look at the real record. So if you look at Boston, you know, 34-12-14, to me they're 34-26. And you look at a team like – you know, you look at the Rangers, 39-17-3, so they're 39-20. They're 19 games over, yet they're still a point behind Boston. So – you know, it is something the league should look at. I mean, I think it was a matter of, you know, trying to help the bubble teams try and get points and stay in the playoff run. But that's obviously what it's done for the Islanders. But, you know, for a team like Boston, they got one more. Now, Rangers have a game in hand on them. But Boston's 1 point, you know, 1 point ahead of them, and they've got 26 losses, and the Rangers have 20, and the Rangers have five more wins. So, I don't know what they could come up with. I know there was talk a while ago about going to like a 3-2-1 kind of tier where you got 3 points if you want in regulation. So I don't know if they would go back and look at that, but you know, I guess that's always a possibility too. You know, so that's kind of where I would go on that. And you know, I think Philly's going to hang on though. I say my air sound is playing pretty well, and I am out of here.
Okay, I'm going to get your thoughts on that. I want to get your thoughts on that on the final thoughts. We got to get Scott get some time to talk, and then Carl, and then we'll go into some final thoughts. I'll have to delay the plane. We go into some sort of landing pattern. Go ahead, Scott, fire away.
Well, thank you, Steve, for playing the music off of Glenn. I'm glad I'm not the only one, so thank you for that. I think it's safe to assume that in our division, nobody's catching the Rangers and Carolina. I think you can draw the line after Carolina because nobody else after that is really that good. I was looking up the standings from the next team, from Philly down all the way to the bottom except Columbus. So Philly, the Devils, the Islanders, Caps, and Penguins, not necessarily in that order, are 7 points. And I looked at their last 10, and all five of them were playing 500 hockey over the last 10, give or take, some even below it. So none of those teams are great, and none of those teams are terrible. I don't think any of them are contenders. I think absolutely I agree with Glenn that the, you know, the window of championship contending for the Crosby and Ovechkin era on those teams is over. But that being said, that third playoff spot and possibly a wild card is completely up for grabs. But, you know, just who's going to be the best of the mediocre teams, which brings us back to the loser's point. Yes, the arch rival and nemesis, because that's the Department of Player Safety of the league. But one of them is my loser's point. And so you've got five teams separated by 7 points. Now, I know that we've still got 22 games to go, but fast forward 7 games from now when we're down to like 13, and, you know, 7 points, you know, should be doable. But the problem is when you got to leapfrog four teams, it's just not possible because of that loser's point. I mean, it just kills the pennant races. I like the term pennant races, no matter what sport we're talking about. It's just a good term. You know, it just kills that. And, you know, the loser's point, like the shootout, served their purpose. They both served a purpose. I know, you know, you're purists, your quote-unquote purists, were against the shootout from the get-go. I liked it. I mean, it's still exciting to go to, but I don't like it as part of the game anymore. You know, when they brought the loser point in what, 99, I think, and I think at the same time is when they knocked it from 5-on-5 to 4-on-4 because nobody liked to take chances in overtime. A 5-minute regulation game, or a 5-minute regular season game overtime was so boring because nobody liked to take chances because nobody wanted to risk that point. So they knocked it down to 4-on-4, and they gave you the loser's point, so overtime could be a little more exciting. But now, when it's 3-on-3, you cannot possibly play conservative. It's not possible. You cannot play for a tie in 3-on-3. It's going to be wide open. There's going to be shots. There's going to be 2-on-1s until somebody wins the game. Actually, it's unavoidable. So get rid of the loser's point. You know, I know we've got – we you know, gone around the horn on everybody's proposal. Mine is get rid of the loser's point, get rid of the shootout, make 3-on-3, 10 minutes in the rare event that nobody scores. And let's be realistic, 9 out of 10 games easily, maybe 9.5 out of 10 games are going to end in the rare event that nobody wins a 10-minute 3-on-3. Then yes, call it a tie. Both teams get the point in the tie, but you don't have to worry about teams playing conservatively for that point. You can't do it in a five minute 3-on-3, let alone a 10-minute 3-on-3. It's just not possible. So the loser's point served its point. It served its purpose. It got overtime exciting, but it's not needed anymore because, you know, you can't. It doesn't serve a purpose, and it just kills the integrity of these late season pennant races. And you've got 5 teams battling for 1, maybe 2 spots. And, you know, 7 games from now, whoever's in that 5th spot is pretty much eliminated because of that point. And it's just not right.
All right, cool. Shout out to you, Scott. Let's get to Carl, and then we get the final thoughts after that.
So, yeah, you know, last week we were talking about the magic number being 10 points, and that would separate the Rangers from Carolina the rest of the way. Right now that's at 7, and I figure the next 2 weeks, I have to see it when the Rangers play Carolina again the rest of the way. But I feel like that would be the demarcation point. And then it seems like, now I don't know about anybody else, but it does seem like if you just kind of project this forward, that Carolina's matchup potentially with Philadelphia in the first round might be more difficult than the Rangers matchup against one of the wild card teams. I've been sort of thinking about that, but you know, I mean, I guess we'll have to sort of cross that bridge when it comes to it. But that's something top of mind that I'm thinking about. Just perusing the rest of the league. You know, the one thing that I was going to save it for final thoughts, but I guess I can bring it up now because this is going to be part of the final thought anyway. You might have noticed that the NHL is having some issues in Winnipeg in terms of attendance. The last 3 years, apparently season tickets is down 30%. The sustainability of hockey in that market after coming back there, you know, just about 10 years ago, might be in flux. And this comes at the same time that the Utah Jazz basketball owner is discussed earlier, I think in the last day or two, renderings for a new arena for the basketball team that would also serve as holding for a hockey arena as well in the same building. Right now, I think it's called Vivint Smart Home Arena. I think it's the old Delta Center in Salt Lake City where they've been playing for the last 30 years, and they're looking to do a new arena right there. And so I'm kind of reading the tea leaves. You may have been hearing about potentially Atlanta coming back into the mix again with an NHL franchise with an arena probably around Cobb County right by Wintrust Park, right by where the Atlanta Braves play. And so you start putting the situations with some of the lower teams in there with Arizona, Winnipeg. You put those sort of 2 and 2 together, and you can see a situation where you've got some movement coming up here in the next couple of years with shifting these teams, because in the case of Arizona, I you can't keep playing hockey in a 4,000, 5,000 seat college arena. Like that doesn't work. It doesn't work for anybody. And you know, if you're going to have issues in Canada again, just like Quebec had, just like when Winnipeg left the first time, eventually you're going to have to make, you know, the league can, because it's hurting the league money wise, because, you know, I was checking this out, you know. 11 years ago, it was 11 years ago, the NHL salary cap and the NBA salary cap was basically identical. But over the last 10 years, the NBA salary cap has gone up by, I think it's 225%, while the NHL has gone up only about 30%. Yeah, but they're also, you know, the league is also
and the TV contract,
enough.
Right?
Uh-oh.
The league is not making enough money. That's the issue, and that's that it's going to cost. If you're going to get a new team in one of these markets, probably $1 billion. You know, if you get I don't know if you could do an expansion team. You're not going to get one by moving a team there. So the league is in a sort of a bind in trying to figure out how do they make these lower market teams that are not drawing do, you know, whole, while at the same time trying to figure a way to get additional revenues that would benefit, you know, all the teams in the league.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that is something we could definitely talk about. We've been talking about it on and off pretty much in the off season and some of the season. And, yeah, I mean, I kind of have my thoughts on that. We could definitely readdress that. So let's go ahead and land that plane. And then I'll go ahead and jump on into final thoughts first. And then we'll go to Glenn, Scott, Carl, and then RP. Everybody get about a minute each. So, yeah, good episode. We'll be back next Tuesday, 8 p.m. However, I got to do a flex, got to do a schedule change 2 weeks from now. We're probably going to move the episode from Tuesday, which would have been Tuesday, to Monday. But I'll fill you guys in next week on that. That would be actually a post-game Monday versus the Devils. So other than that, check out the episode with the Major League Soccer match days one for all the squads and a couple of Real Salt Lake and Inter Miami for their match day twos. The National League, I talked a little bit of the National League over the weekend, and you guys can check that out. And they got the American League coming on later this week. But we got the basketball for Wednesday, and we got the football for Thursday. So feel free to jump in and share the show. And that's my final thoughts. A good episode, guys. We'll go to Glenn. Give us a minute, Glenn. Same thing for Scott, Carl, and then RP, and we'll close the deal.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a quick minute on the in the what could have been category. There is a right wing named Patrick Kane, who is playing now for the Red Wings. And Patrick Kane, I've noticed, has 28 points in 27 games. He's got 4 multi-point games in the last 8, and he's got an assist in 7 of the last 9 games. And just get you thinking that with the Rangers in need of a right wing, if Detroit had just signed him to an 11-year contract instead of a 10-year contract back in 2013, he'd be looking at the end of his contract and might have been just what the doctor ordered for the Rangers this year. Just unfortunate that the timing was last year when he was kind of debilitated with the hip. But I just want to point out that Kane seems to have been making a pretty good comeback from that surgery that was questionable that some guys can come back from, especially his age. So just wanted to point out to anybody who might not be looking, Patrick Kane is doing well in Detroit.
Yeah, and he had a game winner versus his old team, the Blackhawks. But Glenn, before we go, can you give me 30 seconds? Because I was talking about it earlier about the head coach for, or what would have been the head coach for the Blue Jackets. What was specific? I couldn't find the answers. Do you know specifically what happened with Babcock? Why? Exactly why? I mean, I didn't really get any more than, you know,
what I remember from that was that he was looking or asking to look at pictures on players' cell phones to get an idea of their family and what they like and stuff like that and everything. And, you know, I guess some of the older players, Johnny Gaudreau, if I remember correctly, didn't really care. But a lot of the younger players took exception to it. You'd like to know what some of those pictures, might have been. But if I remember correctly, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, that's what it was about. It was about him wanting to look at pictures on guys' phones.
Yeah, that's what I knew, but I mean, was it more to that? But I don't know. If anybody want to fill in, feel free, Ben. But Glenn, thank you very much.
Well,
Scott,
I mean, he was on touchy ground anyway to even come back to the league from you know, his reputation. So probably wouldn't have taken much to push him back over the cliff again, and I think that's why that was. They were like, let's just cut this off right now before we even get into the season.
Okay, all right, cool, man. Thank you, Glenn. Scott, final thought. Give us a minute. Same thing with Carl and RP.
Yeah, and also with regards to that Patrick Kane, the tribute. If anybody hasn't seen, you know, the tribute video with the split screen, the video, and then watching Patrick Kane, it was very nice, very touching tribute in Chicago, and you know, really long ovation. He ended up taking like 3 or 4, you know, salute laps. It was pretty nice video to see. So I will just leave it with, I was not kidding with the first thing that I said on the show today. I did, in fact, order a Rampy jersey on Sunday. I got the I got the Stadium Series one. I know we had a lot of negative things to say about both of our alternates this year. I'm still not any softer on the first alternate. I think that logo is just ginormous. But the Stadium Series jersey is kind of growing on me a little bit. Maybe it has something to do with the game going there, but they're kind of growing on me a little bit. And since that was Rempy's first game, that's the one that I opted to get. So we'll see how that comes. And I also, what arrived today is my 2012 Winter Classic Captain Callahan jersey. And I stand by my assertion that that 2012 Winter Classic jersey is the greatest Ranger jersey in history. Feel free to unload on me next week, anybody who takes offense to that. Yes, even better than the standard home blues. I absolutely love that jersey, so I finally got one. And the last thing, just something to think about for next week. After the Jágr retirement thing, I saw something came up on a Penguins fan page, whatever, said that their Mount Rushmore of players is better than any other team in the league, which is, of course, Crosby, Lemieux, Jágr, and Malkin, and I, you know, immediately had something to say about that. So I was going through, basically I made a spreadsheet, and I did every single team, and I will reveal my Ranger one next week, so something to think about, and then we can get into that next week. So get your Rangers Mount Rushmore ready for next week, and as far as the rest of the league, I think that might be better served during the off-season bi-weekly shows when we're starved for something to talk about.
That's great. Now, Scott, what, do us an honor real quick. Give us like 10 seconds. Give us two teams you want to pick for next Tuesday to discuss. Give us two real quick. And
two
we have two
teams? I'd like to dissect Boston because, as Carl pointed out, Boston and who else? But Detroit. I'd like to see just how much of a threat they really are.
Okay, now, Boston all right, you want to – You say you okay? I kind of cut you off, but you want to spend on those two real quick, and then we go to Carl, and then RP, and then we wrap up. I know we're out of time, but you want to fill out on that or not?
What are you asking me about? Like currently the team to talk about, or the Mount Rushmore thing?
Oh no! Never mind. Let's just put that to the back burner because we can always talk about it next.
Yeah,
week. Boston, about Boston and Detroit. Go ahead, Carl. Final thoughts, and then RP, then wrap up.
Yes, another great episode in the books. Thanks, everybody. I was meaning to mention this a couple weeks ago. I saw this survey that NHL players were given, and they listed a bunch of – they gave them a bunch of questions, you know, like favorite, best goalie in the league, most overrated player. They selected Trevor Zegras was actually voted on as the most overrated player according to the players in the league. But when it came to favorite road city to play in, almost universally, not universally, but there were two sort of standouts compared to the rest of the league. New York was second on the list, but Las Vegas was first.
Mm-hmm.
Far and away than any other team or any other city in the league. The next third best team was only at 10%, but Vegas and New York took up 47% of all available space, according to the league. Some of the ones on the bottom of the list that didn't even register, like Raleigh. Toronto was at 1%, by the way. Chicago was at 2%, and Boston was at 2%. But Vegas and New York, according to the NHL players, their favorite cities to play in the league when they go out.
Quite interesting. Quite interesting. Shout out to you, Carl, on that. I would like to know why. I mean, Vegas and New York makes sense. Boston and Toronto are actually good cities, despite their fans. Those are two good cities. I'm surprised that is very low. But, yeah, I would like to know why. If you could dig up why, that would be great to know, or why those players thought that. I would like to know that. That's
They didn't. No one gave a quote in the story about that. I was actually very stunned. But it was they have some quotes on, like, Nashville. I'm a big country music guy. On Tampa, the fans are great. It's loud. Chicago.
Yes. Nashville's great.
Let's see. Good atmosphere, not as big as New York, so I don't feel like the walls are closing in on me if I'm there for a few days. That's what they basically said.
We could all speak on a lot of these cities, man. Shout outs to you, Carl, on that. Matter of fact, maybe we can add that within the next couple of weeks. Maybe we could double down on that with the Mount Rushmore talk that Scott brought up. And then, of course, RP, final thoughts, inside the rink thoughts you got coming down the pike and everything else, and then we'll close shop.
Yeah, Vegas isn't a surprise there. When your arena's on the Vegas Strip, how can that be one of the best places to go visit and travel? I watched them build that place, and you can't beat that. I agree with that. We've covered everything we wanted to cover. Ranger Proud, Inside the Rink, Empire Sports Media, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. Thanks for another great show, Steve. And all will not be melting down. Wins or losses, the playoffs are what's more important now. So that Chester can keep playing hard, Lafreniere keep finding the net, and good things will happen. You guys have a good night.
And good night to everybody. Shouts to everybody. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Shout outs to RP. Follow him on IG and Twitter and everybody else. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Back next Tuesday. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed blue.